Hear these words as we prepare for the scripture today. Coming from the 11th chapter of Luke. God of wisdom, you promised to give your spirit to those who ask. Overwhelm us with your word that we may know you more fully, love you more passionately, and follow you more closely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reading today comes to you from the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 13 through 16, the little children in Jesus. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We've been on this awesome staycation series. Basically, we're taking the gospel off the pages into the lives, your lives, into the communities. Like the song was saying, once you've experienced God, you want to pass it on. And that's the hope that will happen to each and every one of you, because you have experienced God in one shape or form. And now we're showing you some different ways you can indeed pass it on. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we just thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, or a rock, or a redeemer, and our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Let the children come to me. You know, this gospel reading gives us a firm foundation of what we are to do. We heard that the folks were bringing the children to Jesus, and so that he can lay his hands upon them, and our good, faithful disciples, as usual, missing the mark and telling, basically saying to them, you know, stop, don't bother the teacher, you know, don't bother the teacher. He has more important things to do. Always missing. They've been already Jesus for 2 years and they still don't recognize who he is. But when you hear these words, when Jesus saw the disciples, what they were doing, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to these, such as these." I wonder if you can hear that in there. Hear the fact that it's a clear mandate that takes place with these children, but Jesus is telling us to get them in his presence. It's a clear mandate. Get them in his presence. Include them in every aspect of the family of church. He's helping us, asking us to help them grow in faith so they can claim for themselves the very love of Jesus Christ. They can claim for themselves that they want to follow Jesus. In our tribe, we call it confirmation. But this is not going to happen unless we get them in the presence of Jesus. That's the mandate in a nutshell. The text echoes for us in our minds and our hearts this morning. And I'd like to bring to you three fundamental things that I think is critical for us to do just that. Within the power of reaching these children, we invite them into the presence of God. Three fundamental things I'm going to leave with you tonight and challenge you today. First of all, I want you to, these reasons why we need to, the first reason I want us to think about is to think that the children come in the unchurched population of the, we have children at the most there that's not in church this morning. Can you imagine that? Of the people who are unchurched, of the people who are not in church this morning, the children comprise one of the largest groups. But if the church, and I mean you, that we already defined that you are the church, is to take Jesus' invitation seriously. Let the children come unto me. We simply must be more aggressive in our efforts of reaching the children who are not here this morning. The plight of the children is especially critical because most adults we know don't go to church, typically have grown up in the church. They have some knowledge of the church. They have some knowledge of faith. They have some, they at least know the name Jesus. Even though they're not practicing their walk in a formal way, they have some working knowledge of faith in their lives. And sometimes their faith will come out. They just say the Lord's Prayer. Or in the time of crisis, they know to turn to somebody other than themselves for help, calling to God. Most of them know a scripture or two from the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want when that time comes. Or they know a hymn or two, a stanza in the Bible, I mean in the hymnal. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Amazing grace. They know something. Even a gist of the biblical story of David and Goliath. I'm sure every one of them knows that, who could have touched church sometime in their lives. But the plight is that most of our children today are not exposed to church on a regular basis. They don't have these core teachings to lean on. Unfortunately, they don't have the benefit of being in the presence of God in their lives. Unfortunately, the power other than themselves is being influenced by secular worldview and self-identity. You know, I was reading about a pastor who shared a few years ago to his church at an event, about an event that was specifically created for the children in their neighborhood and for in preparation for Christmas. And when the time came to, and his job was to tell the Christmas story. So he had the children, sat them down, they got their names, they said a prayer, and they sing a few songs. And then he asked, does anyone know the Christmas story? He said, a little girl enthusiastically raised her hands and started reciting. Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. She didn't mean any disrespect, he pointed out. For her, that was her Christmas story. It was all that she knew. Christmas for her and all the children in that group, he said, that had Christmas for them had nothing to do with the birth of Jesus, but with Santa and his reindeer. Similarly, I came across some, you know, researching some illustrations for today and came across some other wonderful prayers from children which reveal their authentic way of coming to God. The prayers go like this. Maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works for my brother. That was from Larry. I didn't think orange went well with purple until I saw the sunset you made on Tuesday. That was cool, Eugene. Are you really invisible or is just a trick? That was Lucy's prayer. Did you mean for the giraffe to look just like that or it was an accident? Norma. Instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones we've got now? That was Jane. And the last one. I don't ever feel alone since I have found out about you. That was Nora. And as Art Link later used to say, kids say the darnest things, don't they? But in this passage this morning, it is Jesus who was saying the amazing things. Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of God. Yes, children comprise one of the largest groups of unchurched population in our community. Yet, they are largely unaware of God's presence in their lives. And that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart. And the tragedy, and this tragedy is what leads me to my second point I want to make this morning. The children's lack of faith is not their fault. It is a choice their parents are making. The children are only doing what they are told or not told to do. In some cases, it is intentional. You know, some parents simply those lack the attitude, to have a lack of attitude towards church, and they get up every Sunday morning and unaware that their child might be needing to go and choose to just lay in bed and sleep it out, or reading, catch up on the news, read a book, and not realizing the impact, its lasting impact it has on the children. They're not hostile. These people are not hostile to church, these parents. This is why they're just apathetic and they're not interested in a relationship with Jesus Christ, much less being in church. They're comfortable with the lifestyle and don't want to be bothered. It's not the children's fault. They just want to be left alone. Or there's this other group. There's more. They feel leave it up to, for the children to do what they want. You know, the ones that says, honey, do you want to go to church this morning? No, do I have to? And they said, no, you don't have to. It's up to you. This is a larger pattern, which is what is called permissive parenting. They want the children to select their own clothes, make their own decisions for them, what food they eat, what clothes they wear. Instead of disciplining the children, they want them to learn from their own mistakes. I don't know if you guys know of Irma Bombeck. She was a newspaper columnist back in the day. And she once wrote from a brief survey she had with his permissive parenting. She said, my youngest son loved picking out his own clothes. No more with this silly color of coordination for him. No more hassle to keep up with the belts and tying his shoelace and with matching socks. For him, they were comfort. Clothes for him was comfort, not appearance. As I watched him go out to the back door at the end of his first week, I thought to myself, all he needs now is a half pint of cheap wine in his back pocket and his entire attire will be complete. And that's when she said, enough is enough. I wonder if we know any of those kids that want to do what they want to do. And then you go like, oh my gosh, please don't let them know that's my kid. The way they want to do what they do. But we allow it. Parents allow that. And then they want to disown them afterwards. But here's the thing. Psychologists tell us that the bulk of children's personality are formed when he or she is about 5 years old. Think about it. Before they start school, the essential character traits they will have is already established. The patterns and behaviors are already set. Isn't it obvious that religious formation should follow suit? If we don't have the children in our midst to set them with right foundation and how to be in this life, we might miss them because we're trying to get them a teenager or beyond an adult some. But the children in the presence of God, psychologists are telling us those formative years, it starts about 5. If we instill in them the importance of what it means to live being a part of the body of Christ, we might have a different outcome than these missing in here. Children's faith, for better or worse, are shaped at a very early age, long before they can even articulate why and what they believe. There's a wisdom from Proverbs 22 that says, train your children in the way they should go. When they grow old, it won't depart from it. It's pretty simple. We do it now when they're young. But look around us, they're missing among us. I will tell you later on how we can get some of them in the presence of a life, how you can do it. Knowing what we know about child development, and all the more important for parents to decide early on, even before the child is born, to raise the child in the church and give them the benefit of religious training, to undergird their life in the knowledge and power that is greater than themselves until they become mature enough. I think that's part of the struggle we have with our children and our teenagers. It's all about them. And we appease that. And, you know, go back psychologically and trying to get them something different, something above themselves, something of a higher power than themselves to help them in their times of trouble, in the times they need to make the right decisions. Children depend on their parents to make good choices for them all their lives. And it's up to us, the church, to do everything we can to encourage parents, encourage your children. Encourage your neighbor's children, encourage all the parents out there, whether it's your child or not, how to bring their children into church, choose wisely on the behalf of their children and choose a relationship with God. But at least we can take the warning line. We need to remember the third point I'm going to make this morning, the third and last point, the truth concerning the plight of the child. And that is, in the Bible, God shows a particular favor to the least of these. We heard that last week about the least of these and who they are. I'm going to tell you how children is going to be included in that. Because in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, when you look to the Greek, commonly used for children, one word, there are two words. One of them is techner, which refers to the offspring or a child of God. And the other one is called micron. I told a Greek, it's not my thing. I don't pronounce it, but I can spell it for you. M-I-K-R-O-N-E, which refers to the little ones. When you look at these two Greek meanings for them, and especially the second one, like in Matthew 10:42, we hear the little ones reference. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Micron refers to the whole range of those who occupy the lowest stand in our social ladder, the poor, the people we were talking, just about everybody we're talking about through this series, the poor, the lame, the outcast, the stranger, and the children. Because in those days, the children are also classified as those who are the lowest in society. The Bible makes it clear, and as we heard last week, God have a special place for the least of these. For those who we show hospitality to the strangers, compassion to the cripple, generosity to the beggar, concerns for the children. That all, when we do these things, we all know that these people are very special. This group of people in among our society is very special to Jesus. And they will gain, you and I will gain the greatest blessings when we incarnate Jesus to the least of these. Jesus went on to say, as far as the king replied, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of my brothers and sisters of mine, you did unto me. Friends, when we reach out to the children around us and make a special place for them in our church, we reap the benefits of God's blessing in our lives, not only in our lives, but in our congregation, in this body of Christ. And let me tell you what I mean. For example, it is a story of Eleanor Clark, who was a retired nurse in Tennessee. She lived alone most of her life, and she used to be in control of our surroundings. She liked order and discipline, but every time everywhere she went, seems to things were getting out of control for her. She seems that she was falling apart for some reason. So one day she went to church, the early communion church, and she sat in the pew by herself. Nothing out of the ordinary for this woman, except in came Becky, a bright and beautiful 5-year-old with her father, Henry, in the last minute. And they stopped at Eleanor's pew, and reluctantly she moved over to let them in, and they sat beside her. The pastor was telling the story, went on to say that something strange was happening in front of me, because at one point in the service, he noticed that Eleanor was crying. Then he noticed when the congregation got up to leave, she was smiling, almost laughing out loud. And later in the week, Eleanor called her and told him what had happened. She said, did you see that child that sat next to me in church on Sunday? He said, yes. And then she said, for no reason at all, that sweet child reached over and put her hands on mine. And when the service was over, she said, I enjoyed sitting with you today. Eleanor said, she will never know what that meant to this old woman. Just imagine that scene. Miss Eleanor what she experienced, I believe, is when children are in church, we gain to stand the blessing. We get the blessing out of it when they are in church. I know in today's church, we separate them. They go out somewhere else. But you can imagine, personally, I'm one of those pastors. I don't mind the children running around. I don't care if they're doing anything. Because most of us grew up in one church where children are part of the church body. But wherever they are, we have to move with with the times. But it's okay. Yes, we might get a little restless and distracting during the church, but it's all right. But at the end of the day, we have to admit it. They do in living us and remind us what it means to be a child of God. They bring out the child in us and help us to express our own feelings. They loosen us up so much and become a little bit more spontaneous. We can't help but respond to them if you see they do something out of the ordinary. I remember when we were having our summit, there were a lot of little kids in here. And one time I could see, it was a boy or girl was just crawling down there. And I saw Glenn on his 4th, there playing with that child. You can't help but become a child sometimes. They're going to loosen up. But this is what I'm saying. The attitude of the disciples was just that, don't bother, don't bring him to the path to the rabbi this moment. Leave him alone. It can't be in here. He's teaching and he's preaching and he's healing. You don't have time for the children. But God taught them an awesome lesson that day. Let the children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. This is a great lesson. It just hit me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the speaking this in my soul right now. Because think about it, the little children, what do they need? They need help. They need help. You and I need help to get into the kingdom of God. Oh my, thank you, Lord, for that word. What, metaphorically, were you a child? They need guidance. They need help. They need teaching. They need a little discipline now and then. We too need those things. This is what the Holy Spirit is going to tell to guide us and lead us to go into the kingdom of God. So that was a great example that Jesus, he was saying the most amazing thing in front of them when the disciples were still hindering them, trying to shut them up, tell them to go. And those days, the parents were always eager, as part of their thing, to have a rabbi to come and bless their child, to touch them. We talked about the power of touch last week, to touch their children. And here we have the disciples that say, no, get away. But you and I need that touch. You and I need to be in the presence. No wonder he used the children. That we need the help. We need his help. We need to be in his presence. Not just the children. We are the children of God. So we too as children need that. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Jesus. Oh, it just hit me. That just hit me. Thank you, Lord. Woo. But the problem is, Jesus said, allow the children to come unto me, but that is not something we can do and sit back passively and wait for them to show up. We can't wait for the least of these to show up at our doorsteps. We have to take the initiative to be proactive so that this week's challenge I'm giving you this week, every week I'm giving you something to do, some means and opportunities to be Jesus, some means to take in after your experience, God, to pass it on, to do something with it. This is telling us the time to take what we learn in the book of in the great book of Jesus Christ, the Bible, to bring it down into your everyday lives. That was the word that Jesus had told me at the beginning of this year. Take the scriptures off the pages into their lives. So here we go. So I'm going to challenge you this week to think of a child or two and invite a child to church either next week or the next week or even by September, bring somebody, a little child in the church, in the presence of God. Some of us, it will be easy because we have our grandchildren or children around of us. Some of us have to be a little bit more innovative. You can quote unquote borrow a child from a neighbor. Borrow a grandchild from a neighbor, but please ask for permission, because if you bring them without the permission, that's kidnapping, and I don't want to be held responsible for that. But don't be surprised when you ask that little child that's running around parent in your neighborhood, parents, that they say yes. There are other ways we can live into let the little children come to a come unto me moments. For example, in Titus 2, verses 3 to 5, Paul wants Titus to encourage the older women to mentor the younger ones. But mentoring is not limited to just women. We have a responsibility to spur one another on the good deeds and to allow iron to sharpen iron, right? So think about it. Every one of us here is older and more mature than somebody else. Teenagers can mentor elementary school and middle schoolers. As responsible adults as you and I are supposed to be, we can't say we have paid our dues. It is somebody else's turn to do so. Because as long as we are able, we should be investing our time and talent into the next generation. Because that's what Jesus is asking us to do this morning. The wisdom and experience. You can just go to the other slide. I think I messed this up. The wisdom and experience of the mature person, my friends, whether in faith or in image, or age rather, is that we can share our mentor, somebody. The result is we can't put a value on it when we spend those times. There are a lot of ways to be missional in our community. When it comes to our children and family, outside the traditional way of coming to Sunday school, right here we have our Wesley kids. They're looking for tutors that we partner with New Horizon after school. We have Orange Wood. You can volunteer at Orange Wood. Go in and read to a class or to, you know, walk alongside an individual. These things can happen. Become a mentor at Valerie House. These are kids who have lost a loved one, a parent or somebody, a sibling, and going through grief. These are ways we can volunteer there. Support adoptive, foster and adoptive agencies. There are countless opportunities in this community alone where we can say to live in, let the children come on to me. Friends, remember this series is challenging us to embody the gospel. We have identified various groups throughout this week with focusing on the children. They're all the least of these. But I want you to consider the big picture here. That the great contribution would be possible to all of us if we just do that. What a great contribution that would be in society if all of us take on one of these things or whatever God has put in your hearts to deal with the plight of the children who are in church right now. It's not their fault. It's not their fault they're not being churched. It's not their fault they're not in the presence of God. Because when we do all these things, my friends, we recognize these things are out of their control. But we as a church have a responsibility to be the church to these. Because as the scripture says, and they came, and the Lord took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads, on them, and blessed them. And we can say, glory to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let it be so into your lives. Amen. You know, as they prepare to come up, back in, I think this was April 1962, called Bath was after a lecture he did at a university. In the Q&A section, he was asked to summarize his entire life, his life theology, rather, in one sentence. You know what he said? I told you this before. He said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So let's join the great theologian summarizing all of his faith in one sentence, but we're going to sing a little bit more than one sentence. Jesus loves me.
What? I don't know this, why should you hear me?